Hello, welcome to Have Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltore, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. For those of you who are returning viewers, I have been doing a series on les filles du roi, the king's daughters. There are about 700 of them. We're on number 60 today, so you can tell we have a long way to go. But I have just, this has been a labor of love. I started off just doing it for fun and just growing with it, you know? And I do have other videos as well, travel videos and some videos on genealogy, all that good stuff as well. And eventually I'll do something else, but for right now I want to finish les filles du roi. And I am a descendant of les filles du roi. I'm originally from Drummondville, Quebec. I now live in Arizona, but I have deep, deep roots in La Belle Provence. Before we move on, I want to make sure you know that if there is a filles du roi that you would like to feature, you'd like me to feature, please list her name down below and I will absolutely put her on the list and get to her as quick as I can. I can be reached at lisa@haverootswilltravel.com. I can also, just to let you know, I have a website, Facebook page, Have Roots Will Travel, and I'm also on Twitter. So I love hearing from you, you know, all of it, all of the above comments, concerns, questions, anything like that. I really, really enjoy hearing the feedback. For those of you who are regular viewers, you know that I have produced a video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0, in which I go into the program in great detail and understanding what the filles du roi had to go through, how they were recruited, all of that. And it, for those of you who are interested, I think it would be worth your viewing, because you will really get a sense of what your ancestor went through in order to get to New France. So let's see who is number 60. This week's fille du roi is Jeanne Deneau, and she is a viewer request, but she also is the great-grandmother of my best friend. Many of you have heard me speak of her, of a work colleague who didn't know she even had any French Canadian, and also of my best friend's daughter. On her father's side, she is also descendant from this lady. And one of my dear friend's husbands is also descendant from this lady. So absolutely, I think that this is a lady who had a lot of influence, shall we say. And so let's get to know Jeanne a little bit. So Jeanne was born in 1645 in the first arrondissement of Paris, and baptized at Saint-Germain-l'Auxerrois, which is a renowned church in Paris. Her parents were Antoine Deneau and Catherine Le Duc. Now, the church of Saint-Germain was built in the 13th century and major modifications in the 15th and 16th century. And from 1608 until 1806, it was the parish church for the inhabitants of the palace. And many notable artists and architects who worked on the palace have their tombs in the church. Since the 2019 fire, which badly damaged Notre-Dame de Paris Cathedral, the cathedral regular services have been held at Saint-Germain because it is large enough. Now let's talk about the location in Paris. The first arrondissement, which is the first circle, remember, arrondissement means circle, and it is referred to as Le Premier, and it is governed locally with the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th arrondissement, and it forms the first sector of Paris, the Paris Center. It's also known as Le Louvre, because principally, and it is situated principally on the right bank of the River Seine. Now, there's not a lot of people that live here now, because it's one of the oldest, and most of it is taken up by the Louvre and other you know, major monuments. This locality is one of the oldest areas in Paris, the Île de la Cité having been the heart of the city of Lutetia, conquered by the Romans in 52 BC, while some parts on the right bank date back to the early Middle Ages. I've mentioned the Louvre Museum, many of you know about the Tuileries Gardens, the Forum des Halles is the largest shopping mall in Paris, and the remainder of the arrondissement is dedicated to business and administration. Obviously, that was not the case in her time, but this is, I'm sure you want to visit it if this is your ancestry, and this is how we find Le Premier Arrondissement, the first arrondissement of Paris. This is an old map, actually, right on the left. I was able to get that from Google. And then, of course, the church. And then that is a depiction of the first arrondissement as it would have looked in early 1900s. So let's see when Jeanne came to New France. So sometime in 1666, Jeanne decided to come to New France. I do not know the name of the ship. The ship for 1666, I have been unable to get that information. Anyone who has the information, please help me out and send me a note. Her father had passed away and she was now 21 and about to embark on a grand adventure. So the groom that she selects, or selects her, his name is André Robidoux de l'Espagnol. He was born about 1640, and here's what makes him special. He was born in Saint Maria in Galicia, Spain. So this is our very first Spanish. We had one that was born kind of close to Spain, but this one is like right in there. And remember that Dit name? That means André Robidoux Dit, also known as the Spaniard. So that's how we know. Now that church, the picture on your left, that is the church that exists in Saint Maria in Galicia. I cannot, be certain this is the church, but I'm fairly confident that this one is where he would have been baptized. Now, how did André make his way to New France? So André would come to New France sometime in the early 1660s, and he was basically a sailor. They called it a matelot, he was the fellow who trimmed the sails and, under the master's orders, performed all the operations involving the masts and the yards, the rigging and the maneuvers. But in New France, the role of the sailor went beyond this particular definition. Some of their engagement contracts specified that they were expected to serve as laborers or perform any other duty the governor ordered. And they were asked to cut wood and work the fields. At times they were sailors. They were just sailors. They were side by side with the colony's soldiers. And eventually they actually became soldiers as well. So that was, he became, that was his passageway to get to the New World. So André and Jeanne were to be married on June 7th, 1667. I'm pretty sure that André by then had gained his freedom. He was no longer an indentured servant and could now, get land and start his life. And this is where let's see where they end up. André and Jeanne would establish themselves at La Prairie, which means the meadow, was first given to the Jesuits in 1667. So it was still, when they came here, it was still being run by the Jesuits. The seigneurie would develop slowly, but by 1687, it had both a flour and sawmill. In 1691, the lumber would actually act as a barrier to the attack from the mercenaries from New England who came and tried to take things from New France. Later, a small wooden church was built as well, and that is a depiction of that first church. So Romaine, their first daughter, married at 13 years of age, a 35-year-old man named Jean Roux, but they did not have any children. She then married Jean Patineau, who was 32, and had three children, two of whom reached adulthood. Just remarkable to me. Marguerite died in infancy. Jeanne Marie married Gabriel Lemieux, had 10 children, 8 of whom made it to adulthood. Guillaume married Marie-Françoise Guéret and had 13 children, 8 of whom reached adulthood. And Joseph married Jeanne Séguin and had 11 children, 7 of whom made it to adulthood. On the 1st of April, André of 1678, Henri would pass away and was buried at La Prairie. Now, by August, Jeanne finds another husband, because remember, she's got children and she has to somehow make it work. So her new husband was Jacques Surprenant de Sanssouci. I love that name. It's just so for those English speaking people, Jacques Surprenant means surprised. De Sanssouci means without worry. So this is a guy who was, surprise without any worry. Surprenant is astonishing or surprising. So it's just a great name. He was born in 1645 in the town of Saint-Martin-du-Vieux-Bélem. His parents were Jacques Surprenant and Louise Riquet. He arrived in New France with the Contrecoeur Company of the Carignan Regiment in August of 1665. So let's get to know a little bit about Saint-Martin-du-Vieux-Bélem, which literally means Saint Martin of the Old Bélem. Saint Martin, the church where Jacques would have been baptized, dates from the 11th century, and parts of it were a Benedictine abbey. It was actually the place of worship of King Saint Louis during the siege of the town of Bélem by his mother Blanche of Castile in 1228. Don't you wish you had the time in the world to just find out all about these different, castles and where they were living. Today, this place has about 562 inhabitants. In 1665, as I've stated, he joined up. He said, I'm out of here. So I want to establish a new life. How Jacques met Jeanne is a mystery. But Jacques received a concession of land from the Jesuits in La Prairie in 1674. So he would have worked as a soldier, possibly done, odd jobs, but he eventually had enough money to receive a concession from the Jesuits in La Prairie, where Jeanne was living with André. So it's possible that, they just met. And by André dies in April, and by August, Jeanne is marrying Jacques. And let's have a look at the family they create. Let's have a look at the family that Jacques and Jeanne would create together. Jean, their firstborn, would die in infancy. Their second daughter, Marguerite, would also die at 3 years of age. Pierre would marry, their third child, would marry Marie-Anne Fitzgerald de Marivière and have 10 children, 8 of whom would reach adulthood. Laura would marry Jeanne Beauvais and have 6 children, all of whom would make it. Catherine would marry Jean Denigé and have 6 children, 6 of whom would make it to adulthood. She was left a widow at 30, and then she would then remarry Jean Berthaud and have 1 child who also made it. Her third marriage later in life to Antoine Jacques Boyer did not produce any children. Marie would marry François Lefebvre and did not have any children before passing away at the age of 27. Claude and Anne would both die in infancy. Jeanne would die sometime between 1692 and 1701 when she's listed as deceased in one of her son's marriage records. Jacques would pass away July 15, 1710. He's buried in the cemetery at La Prairie, where I'm hoping Jeanne is also buried with him. And so ends another episode number 60. Jeanne d'Anneau is a brave and was a brave and strong-willed woman who never gave up and just kept going on no matter, how many disappointments she might have had in life. And certainly having, lost one husband, she managed to recreate her life. And eventually, although she did not live a long life, she contributed greatly to both La Prairie and to the descendants that she produced. Because by 1729, she would go on to have had, 173 descendants from those 2 marriages. So that's why, even though she didn't live a long life, it has all to do with how, well, you saw in the other case where Anne the Knight had 1 child and ended up being number 1. Jeanne d'Anneau is actually in the top 20 in terms of being the top page of 1 in terms of descendancy as of 1729. So with that, we thank her so much. And I bid you adieu until we meet again on video episode number 61. Until then, au revoir.